and I won't sit down, and I won't shut up. Hey kids, I'm starting the Rishap cast early. Got my keys out and I'm walking to the car.
I don't know that that means anything.
So this is Rish Outfield, and it's the Rish Outcast, and I've been doing these for a while now, more than 40 episodes in. Should I do a story in this one or should I not? I wish I knew how many people listen to the show and if there were anybody that actually cares. And I've got a point I'm trying to make here. Allow me this little tangent. I used to struggle a lot with depression, with feelings of worthlessness, of, I guess inadequacy is the phrase, but something stronger than inadequacy, just like a sense that what's the point? That I've wasted my opportunities and my opportunities are never going to come again. I've struggled with that for a long time, and I've somehow mostly gotten a grip on it. Now, granted, I'm gonna give some of the credit to growing out of adolescence. You know, there's a lot of hormones, there's a lot of whatever the opposite of an endorphin is being released by your brain during that period, and I was confused and just miserable a lot of times. And then, you know, once you become an adult, I think, and you may know if you're smart, I think a lot of those chemicals start to dissipate, or they you know, your brain doesn't release quite as many as it had before. That's my guess. I don't know. Like I said, this is a tangent. I'm sorry. But you know, I'm not only an adult, but I'm getting up there in years, and I've sort of come to grips with the fact that, you know, I missed my train. There were certain things that I wanted all my life, and I didn't get them. And it's very unlikely that that train comes by here again. Yeah, sad, but not sad enough to cast me into a septic tank of despair. Just, you know, I came to grips with it. I understand that there are happy people and there are people that aren't. And I'm in the other camp. And, you know, that's a roundabout way of saying for some reason I felt kind of unhappy today. I feel sorry for myself. I didn't get up when I was supposed to in the morning. And maybe that's partially to blame. I worked a lot this week at my job, and I did something I haven't done in a long time. I've written every single day this week and last week as well. I think we're on 14 days straight. Maybe tomorrow would be 14 days, but today is 13. And, you know, that's laudable, right? I mean, more commendable would be I've written and I'm going to publish what I've written or send it out to contests or send it out to magazines. You know, there's that Writers of the Future contest. And I guess is it quarterly or is it every 6 months? And I entered it years ago. And because I'm not really a sci-fi guy, I never entered it again. Or, you know, if we're looking at things more honestly, probably because I didn't succeed the very first time I entered it. I stopped. I think it would be healthy to submit stories, to send them out. I mean, just to send them to Pseudopod and Escape Pod and Podcastle, you know, where, except for Escape Pod, I'm friendly with these people, and it's something that I ought to keep in mind. But I can't tell you why I'm upset today. And, I'm not even upset. It's just melancholy. It's not a big deal. But, you know, these things are strange. Nothing particularly life-shattering has happened to me this week or yesterday or today. And, you know, a lot of times the weather would affect me. You know, if it were really overcast and gray or, you know, rainy, I would be upset. It's neither of those things today. Actually, the sun is shining. It's probably the warmest day it's been this year. I put a short sleeve shirt on under my jacket. Just thinking, I guess. That's kind of what I'm doing right now. You know, I didn't have an agenda. I just thought I'd start this thing recording, go for my little drive. I've got no place to go. I thought I might go to the library. The library is a good place for me to write because I go and they have these little, are they booths? Oh, they're cubicles. That's probably a good word for it. And you can plug your laptop in or, you know, there have been a couple of times when I've just taken my notebook and you can just sit there. And what distractions are there? There's no music. There's no computer. Well, I brought my laptop, so of course there's a computer. You know, but at home there is a million things that are vying for my attention. I've never really talked about what I do for a living, but I basically have three jobs. I have my day-to-day job, you know, where you go in and clock in and you have to be around other people. I do audiobooks badly, and then I sell things. And the most money comes from this third one. And I'm my own boss. It depends on how ambitious I am, how much stuff I sell, and how fast I get it out there. And sometimes it's satisfying. Sometimes it's not. But it's never-ending. It is a Sisyphean. Well, a never-ending task. Because I will always have more things I could sell. And anytime something sells, I always have more things I could sell. And I always have stuff that I need to ship out and get supplies and get boxes and packing materials and paper and ink and me. What brought that on? Oh, home. When I'm there at the house, there is pressure on myself to edit that audiobook, record the audiobook, ship some stuff out, send some invoices, put some more stuff up. There's just a hundred things that I could do or should do or might do, and that, you know, and there's always other things. You know, there's games, there's Facebook, there's emails. Check your emails. You know, just a bit more distraction than I need. So, it's good to get out. It's good to go to the library and have fewer distractions. And, you know, you go somewhere and it's like, that's what I'm here to do, is to write. And I think I will do that in a moment. Sometimes it's not, but it's never-ending. It is a Sisyphean, well, a never-ending task, because I will always have more things I could sell, and I always have stuff that I need to ship out and get supplies and get boxes and packing materials and paper and ink and me. What brought that on? Oh, home. When I'm there at the house, there is pressure on myself to edit that audiobook, record the audiobook, ship some stuff out, send some invoices, put some more stuff up. There's just a hundred things that I could do or should do or might do. And that, you know, and there's always other things. You know, there's games. There's Facebook. There's emails. Check your emails. You know, just a bit more distraction than I need. So, it's good to get out. It's good to go to the library and have fewer distractions. And, you know, you go somewhere and it's like, that's what I'm here to do, is to write. And I think I will do that.
in a moment.
So I went to the library. I sat there for more than an hour. I didn't keep track of how many words I wrote. Let me talk about this thing called Write or Die. I discovered it a few years ago. Probably a writer on Facebook mentioned it, and I tried it out, and I hated it. But I went to this writing symposium the other day, and somebody mentioned doing Write or Die, and that, you know, it was a good way to make yourself do your daily writing, if you're into daily writing. It's basically a website. It's like a program, a computer program type thing that has a window in it where you type text and you tell it beforehand how many words you're going to write and what your time limit is. Let's just make it easy and say that it's 1,000 words in, I don't know, 10 minutes. Then you push start and it keeps track of how many words you have left and how much time you have left. And depending on the settings, it will punish you if you stop writing or if you don't, you know, reach your goal. And the reason I hated it so many years ago when I first tried it and never went back until now is it would punish you, like I said, by deleting the work that you had done. And believe me, that is punishment. But that is cruel and unusual punishment. That is not punishment that fits the crime. That's Guantanamo-based stuff. With no lawyers present, it's off the map. Nobody knows you're there. What it does now, and I think there's probably still a way to change the settings so that it is that horribly unfair, undoing the work that you've done option. But the way it works now is if you stop writing, it probably, let's say for five seconds, the screen goes from white to red gradually. And if it gets to dark red, like blood red, then a horrible hair whitening sound will blare. Boy, this sounds familiar. I wonder if I talked about this already, because I remember making the noise as the sound that Write or Die would make. Boy, I did. I must have talked about this. Oh, guys, I forgot to look at the fine print. You're listening to a rerun right now. Oh, you know, I missed my deadline, and so we ran a rerun instead. Just didn't change the TV Guide description of the episode that said it was a new show. Anyhow, two weeks ago tomorrow, I took my laptop to work, and I started writing, and I thought I did a good job. While I'm at work, I have no time to write except for on my break. And I know that the time is limited. I only have a couple minutes. And so I always try to push hard in those couple minutes, you know, get as much work as I can in that little space. And sometimes you feel the muse. You feel like, oh gosh, this is going good. Oh, please don't. Oh, do I really have to go back to work? And there have been times that I've stretched it a little bit and come back from break late. There have also been times when it's my break and I accomplish almost nothing. I just sit there and fix typos. But both are beneficial. That was a good experience. And the next day I repeated it. And I just took my laptop whenever I would go somewhere to eat. I went to that writer's conference I talked about. And I had a notebook there and I wrote in that. And here we are, 2 weeks later. I've written 14 days in a row. Tomorrow will be 15. I know I was depressed. I was feeling sorry for myself. And I'm good at that. But that's pretty impressive. That's worth... Wow. That was a really pretty girl. So that's good. You know, that leaves me a feeling of some accomplishment. I mean, not a lot. Not enough to count. But when I finish that story, and I feel like I'm close, you know, I hope it's something that I'm really proud of. And remember when I went to the writer's symposium last year, I talked about this guy who gave a panel on writing a novel in 90 days. He said, you know, I'm part of the world. I've had sex with people and I've done a lot of drugs. And I'm here to tell you that none of that feels as good as finishing a novel. And I don't know why that just jumped back into my head, but I guess I was saying it feels good when you create, it feels good when you write. Because I'm a short story writer, much more than anything else, I should have that feeling a lot. You know, the completion, oh, it is done feeling. And maybe the novel thing is a bigger deal because it's, you know, a much higher peak that you've climbed. Regardless, I will feel good when I finish this project. And then, you know, there's always the next one. I wrote a short story last week in the midst of this big project that I'm doing. And I like that. I think it's neat where you just take a minute and you write something short. And then you go back to your big thing. And I don't know, I've talked to a lot of writers who, you know, have their big novel, or they have, you know, like an epic series, a series that they go back to again and again. And while they're writing that, or in between writing those, they'll write something small, they'll write a short story, they'll write a YA series or children's books. I don't know, that's to me really interesting that you can do that. And I've done it myself. I'm that way with several projects. And anyway, somebody said years ago that anytime that you get down, you start getting depressed, the solution is to work, to do something, to work on something. Because maybe our brains are wired to release endorphins when you accomplish something, when you work toward a goal, when you perspire in pursuit of something. And I certainly feel better now than I did when I first picked this thing up and got in the car. I'm not going to be around forever, I know that. And a lot of what I've accomplished is frivolous or unimportant or worse, a waste of time. But my writing is something that I am proud of. Except for last week when I went to that writer's conference and I was surrounded by people who made a living with writing or were way more dedicated to their writing than I was. I feel like I do pretty good work. Like I can be proud of how much of what I write, whether it's short stories or scripts or sketches or blog posts or, you know, the occasional novel. And, you know, I don't think anybody's life is just one day. I mean, unless you're somebody like John Wilkes Booth is remembered for that, or, you know, somebody that accomplishes something in one day and that's their life's work. You just do what you can today. And a lot of days will be wasted. A lot of days will be failures. But keep trying. There's another day tomorrow. It all starts over. It's a cycle. So I got a little sidetracked there. I was just on my way to pay you back, but I got a little sidetracked. It's not my fault. What I was saying is, you know, I went to that writer's conference and surrounded by these people whose output is extraordinary. You know, I felt inferior. I felt like I wasn't pulling my weight. But most of the time, I know that I write a lot. I write some. At one of the panels I went to, they mentioned that H.P. Lovecraft, as much as I dislike the man, he was a prolific letter writer, but his fiction is, he's not got a lot out there. They said that his body of work can fit in one volume. It's probably less than 100,000 words is what they said on the panel. And So, you know, I may not write 15 novels in a year, like the lady at one panel boasted that she accomplished, but, you know, I'm no H.P. Lovecraft either, which I, oh boy, sounds like a real insult to H.P. Lovecraft. I guess I'm just saying is that you don't have to put out several novels a year to be a writer. I put out what I put out, and I can do better, and I'm working on that. But it's also relative. I'm not competing with you. I'm not competing with, gosh, what's the name of the guy? Brandon Sanderson, who writes 4 novels a year. And they're all big beasts of novels. I'm competing with me. And I know when I do good work, I know when I slack off. Except for when I write something and I don't know if it's good or not. But I know whether I slacked off or not. I have lost a couple of hours in the time that I got in this car and drove around. I intended to get gas. I didn't do it. Ugh. Looks like I'm not going to. But, you know, there are more hours ahead. You go crazy if you think about every single hour that you waste, every hour that you lose. Yes, I slept an extra hour today than I have in a while because I forgot to set my alarm. But I slept 2 hours fewer yesterday because I had to get up early to go to work. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm doing all right. I slept an extra hour. It was just math. I was just trying to catch up from the hours that I missed. I suspect, and I may not know until you meet somebody who's truly able to judge, but I suspect that I'm too hard on myself. I've got so many plates spinning, and I feel bad when a plate falls and shatters, or when I look and I only have 3 plates spinning, and I have 10 sticks or whatever you spin plates on. Everybody can do more than they have done. Even what's his name, Brandon Sanderson. Well, I don't know the man. Maybe he's a robot. But I would say, you know, there's got to be off days when he's just like, ugh, I could have done more and I didn't. I don't know. Maybe that's the difference between someone successful and someone like me. But I'm going to choose to believe that that's not the case. That everybody has days when they sleep an extra hour. Everybody has days when they could have done just a little more and they didn't do it. Everybody has days when they fell short. And tomorrow, as I said before, is another day and an attempt to not fall so short. We'll see. So this has been Rish Outfield, and I guess there was no story today. We'll ask Sir Fake Sean if he's got a song for us. But thank you for listening to my show. It's just therapy. It's free therapy. It doesn't cost me anything to talk and believe that there's somebody out there listening. And it keeps me sane-ish. And so there's that. You go your way. May tomorrow be more successful for you. Bye.
I know how you are. Now I've had the time of my life. No, I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear, it's the truth, and I owe it all to you, 'cause I've had the time of my life, and I owe it all to you. It became Al Pacino there for a moment. I've been waiting for so long, now I finally found someone to stand by me. We saw the writhing on the wall as we felt this magical fantasy. Now with passion in our eyes, there's no way we could disguise it secretly. So we take each other's hand, cause we seem to understand the urgency. Just remember, you're the one thing I can't get enough of. So I'll tell you something. This could be love, because I've had the time of my life. No, I've never felt this way before. Yes, I swear, it's the truth, and I owe it all to you. Hey, baby. With my body and soul, I want you more than you'll ever know. Can I join in? So we'll just let it go. Don't be afraid to lose control. Oh, no.
No. Yes, I know what's on your mind. When you say, stay with me tonight.
Stay with me. And remember, you're the one thing I can't get enough of. So I'll tell you something. This could be love, because I've had the time of my life.
No, I've never felt this way before.
Yes, I swear it's the truth.
And I
owe it all to you,
because I
had the time of my life, and I've searched through every open door till I found the truth, and I owe it all to you.
The Rish Outcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative 3.0 license. Which means you can sell it. No, you can't sell it. You can copy it and you could put it out there and you can... I'm not sure what you'd want to do other than listen to it, but this is what you can do. What you can't do is sell it. Good. Thank you for listening.
Now I've had the time of my life. No, I've never felt this way before.
Never felt
yes,
this
I swear,
way.
It's the truth. And I owe it all to you.
I've had the time of my life. No, I've never felt this way before.
Never
yes,
felt
I
this
yes,
way.
I swear, it's the truth. And I owe it all to you, cause
I had the time of my life,
and I searched through every open door, till I found the truth, and I owe it all to you, cause I had the time of my life. No, I've never felt this way before.
Never felt this
way. Yes, I swear, it's the truth. And I owe it all to you.
Thank you for letting me participate. It was nice.
Well, you're welcome.
It's one of my favorite songs. I've never heard it before. Who are you? Fake Christopher Walken. Now, I've had the time of my life. No, I never felt this way before. Yes, I swear, it's the truth. And I owe it
all to you